Hello, and welcome to Love at First Screening's special series, Rom-Com Road Trip, where we take you on a winding journey to find the best love and laughter as we create a rom-com plot of our own.
So grab your favorite snacks.
Like garlic naan chips.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about garlic naan chips now. That completely made me forget the snack that I had chosen. We'll just go with, or you could bring edible cookie dough. That'll go great with the garlic naan chips.
Either way, you should hurry, because we've got a few friends to pick up.
I call shotgun. You drive.
Buckle up.
I feel like we actually did that well.
It looks like we got close.
Speaking of close, at the time of recording this, so it may all fall apart, or it may not, looks like we might have a tentative deal between WGA and AMPTP.
Yes, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Of course, even if they do get the deal and they ratify it, you know, we still have SAG to negotiate with. In other strike news, they did vote to approve the video game SAG strike.
Mm-hmm. I just love all this union action that we're seeing, because it's a great way for workers to be able to assert their rights in the workplace.
Yeah. It's almost as if workers are a necessary part of business. The labor force is strong.
Do you mean that we shouldn't separate workers from the means of production?
I know, radical notion, but...
Chelsea, that sounds like an ism.
It's always an ism.
God, this explains why you always greet me as comrade when I see you. I just thought it was a quirk of yours. Oh my goodness. Chelsea, how the hell are ya?
Well, I am doing all right. I am 38 days out from my move. From being on the opposite coast that I currently am on. So I'm excited for that. Truth be told, getting a little impatient. I'm just like, let's go, let's go, let's keep it moving.
Yeah. You see a big neon sign looming in the distance and you're like, I just want to get there.
I do.
I'm really rooting for you to get there. I think it'll be great.
When this episode airs, I will be driving across the country.
Listening to episodes of our podcast?
Yeah, why not? I might listen to multiple because my mom is probably not caught up.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Mom, are you caught up? She'll be sitting next to me, so.
Amazing. It just got really meta for her.
Yeah, it really did. Hi, Mom. I love you. Thank you for taking this long journey with me. It's like all those summers you packed us into a car and we drove 36 hours from Colorado to New Jersey. All those summers were practiced for this moment when we drive even further.
I'm sorry. I'm just wondering why anyone would want to spend that amount of time in proximity to a child in a car. Your mother is far braver than anyone gives her credit for. Wow. Just wow.
How are you, Madison? What will you be doing?
I'll be working a new job that's not in the field I previously worked. This is called manifesting. Look it up. I at the time of recording this, I very recently decided that I no longer wanted to be in the field I was working in because I just didn't have the potential that I wanted. It didn't really hold my interest anymore. I kind of looked at the pieces of the job that I had liked and realized that it had nothing to do with the field. So yeah, I am looking for jobs that hopefully don't feel as karmically gross to me. And I'll be working that by the time this comes out. So shout out future Madison. So glad that you're employed. Good job. Did that sound confident?
It did. Thank for you. Sure. 100%. Yeah. I'm also proud of you, future oh Madison, God. And your employment status.
She says thank you. At least I assume she does, unless she's like, you know, a raging beep. Oh, no. A sensor beep. That's horrible. I wonder what I said. but yeah, no, the most exciting thing going on at this very second in this time frame that I'm currently in is that I got 3 peaches at the grocery store like 3 or 4 days ago. And yesterday I cut them up and I ate one of them, but then I froze the other 2 in chunks, and I'm going to make a peach wine slushy with it.
That sounds pretty good.
Thank you. I'm very excited. My plan is to chill out underneath the sort of trellis structure thing in the garden with my wine slushy. Maybe the cat will be there. All the fucking spiders that have taken up residency there will be there, because they won't fucking leave. And I'm too chicken shit to make them. Do you remember that spider that made that giant web in your car?
I do. I do remember it quite vividly, actually. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome. It was the one with like yellow stripes on its legs, right? Yellow, yeah. Black. Yeah, same kind of spiders have taken over my garden. They're holding some of my tomatoes hostage because I'm not brave enough to try to disturb their web enough to get them.
Your garden is quite the battle zone.
Okay, here's the thing that's really grinded my gears. I had 3 hornworms on my tomato plants throughout this season, which is actually a pretty good number if you're going to have any. Like, I feel like 3, you know, less than I could face. But that being said, those big-ass spiders couldn't do a damn thing about them. And so now I almost, like, hope that I find one of those nasty hornworms so then I can chuck it into these indestructible Joro spider webs just to see what the spider does to it. Like, that would be prime time entertainment for me if I could just yoink a hornworm into a Joro spider web and then sit there with my little outdoor chair with my wine slushy in hand. I can't think of anything better that I'd like to watch on TV right now. It's like my own personal animal planet. But that being said, I have some really cool pictures of the spider if you want.
I'm good.
I did take a picture of a cute little bumblebee nestled perfectly in one of the loofah flowers that opens up, the big yellow loofah flowers. And it was so cute because it was like this cute little bumblebee and it was all in the flower. And I got super close to it to take a good picture of it. And then I stepped back and I was zooming in on my phone to look at it closer. And then the bumblebee came off the flower and, like, bounced off my chest. Like, it was trying to see my phone to see if I got a good shot of it. I felt like a Disney princess. It was honestly probably one of the best things that's happened to me.
I love that for you.
Thank you. I also saw a lizard. It's been really great.
Madison is just communing with nature.
I am. I'm experiencing. Wait, what is the buzzword on social media? Oh, I am just embracing slow living.
Lord.
Next thing you know, I'm going to be one of those horrible homesteaders that's selling like rancid pickles on TikTok.
I didn't know that they sold pickles on TikTok.
You can buy a lot of stuff on TikTok now, but for me to explain how that works, they're going to have to pay us.
Well, speaking of paying, Madison, would you like to hear what I've come up with for the bet?
I want nothing less than this, but also nothing more.
Okay. I'm going to be real honest and say that this was a very difficult prompt. Because the thing about the bet as a concept is that I hate it. Like, it's icky for a couple of reasons. Mostly that there is always a person involved that is involved indirectly and is being lied to, or at least lied to by omission of information, and is being manipulated by other persons involved that are directly involved. Also, there's a lot of times a weird dehumanization of that indirectly involved person. And in stories where the jock makes a bet that he can make the weird girl prom queen.
And he takes off her glasses and suddenly she's prom queen.
Yeah, it's like she takes off her glasses and it's like, oh my god, you're actually a person. You're not just this weirdo.
It's actually just one big long ad for contacts.
Yeah. Anyway, I just want it known that I've done my best to do something different with this, but I recognize that we're kind of stretching the term bet here.
I love this. I'm already so excited.
Okay. So our story takes place at a lake house. It's a family estate where this particular family gets together, not just with their immediate family, but also with close family friends. And then as the children have grown up, their partners, things like that. It's just a big couple of weeks in the summer where they're at this lake house and it's really great. And this year is very special, as they are celebrating the grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary. So they chose to go these particular weeks for that reason. It's even more exciting, at least for some people, because the first night that they're there, a large announcement is being made. I need an A name and a J name, both women.
Alice and Jillian.
Alice and Jillian announce their engagement.
Oh my god, congrats.
The first night. This news comes as a bit of a shock to Alice's best friend. I need a Z name, also a woman.
Zora.
This news comes particularly as a shock to Alice's best friend, Zora, who broke it to Alice only a few weeks ago that Jillian is having an affair.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Alice is aware that Jillian is having an affair. And when they had this conversation, of course, Alice was very upset, didn't want to believe Zora, but ultimately was like, we can work through it, whatever. But Zora kind of expected that since she only recently found out about this, that things were going to be awkward. She was kind of not looking forward to this particular vacation because of this recent development. And now she's completely confused about this engagement. Where did this come from? But Zora isn't the only one dismayed by this announcement. Alice's publicly progressive but conservative when it comes to their own family grandparents. I need an I woman name and an M male name.
Inez and Marcus.
Inez and Marcus feel uneasy, to say the least, about Alice's engagement. And then, of course, there's Alice's longtime friend slash lovable lad next door. I need an R name.
Ryder.
Alice's longtime friend slash lovable lad next door, Ryder, isn't winning any awards for hiding his disappointment. They've never dated, but their families have been joking about them ending up together pretty much since birth. It's one of those situations. So Zora, utterly confused about this development, wants to talk to Alice, but Alice won't leave Jillian's side all night. She cannot get her alone. So Zora is the last one to come back inside from that night's bonfire, and she's quietly navigating through her house. She's going to grab a glass of water before she heads upstairs, where most of the house has, you know, tucked themselves into their respective rooms for the evening. When she overhears Marcus in the kitchen saying, "We cannot let this happen." She knows that she shouldn't eavesdrop, but before she can turn around, she hears Ryder say, "I always thought Alice and I would get together in the end." And this is, of course, ridiculous. It's a ridiculous fantasy, but it has Zora's attention because Alice has never been into Ryder. And although she wishes it wouldn't, it kind of stings a little to hear Ryder continue to delude himself when Zora was really Alice's childhood sweetheart.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They had been best friends from childhood. Of course, hung out with Ryder, kid next door. He had cool games and stuff, and they liked him, but not as anything more than a friend ever. Obviously, growing up, there were lots of wink, wink, nudge, nudges about Ryder and Alice being together. His grandparents and Alice's grandparents have been friends for decades, their parents, and then now them. It just felt like they should be together. It's a fantasy that everyone's had, but Alice never wanted anything to do with Ryder in that way. And Zora, being the other childhood best friend, she and Alice were as thick as thieves, super tight. And then, of course, they entered middle school, high school, and that friendship kind of evolved in the way that two young queer girls might allow that relationship to evolve as they're figuring things out. Zora and Alice were a thing in late middle school, kind of in high school, but it was definitely not something that they advertised. It was not secret in a, like, oh, no one can ever know kind of a way, but certainly in a, we don't really know what this is, and we're not really sure that anybody else is like us kind of a way. And so it was just something that they didn't talk about. This was not it didn't in any way turn sour, but, you know, they grew up, they went to college, they met other people, and it was just kind of not something, but they've always been friends through it all. But regardless of that, it does still kind of hurt Zora to hear everyone constantly talk about how Ryder and Alice should be together because they are completely blind to reality.
So I'm going to stop you right here just to say that I'm going to give you your pick of a wild card because there are two things that come to mind that I feel would just fit in so well here. And you can either have someone have a very visceral fear of birds and have that be an important moment in the story, or you can have a fight on a kayak that results in everyone who is on said kayak falling off and one of them emerging from the body of water, a la Jonathan Bailey.
Great.
Please continue. I am riveted.
So then Zora hears Inez speak up, and she says, "That could be it." And then she says to Ryder that he should romance Alice, make her realize how wonderful life could be, how easy if she married him instead of Jillian. Now, Ryder seems a little bashful at this, but it's not difficult to tell that he's ultimately hopeful that Alice might want to marry him. And then Inez makes a proposal. If Ryder can successfully break up the engagement, she and Marcus will give him equal claim to their estate as Alice.
Oh my God. So please help save our granddaughter from her queer ways. Will give you real estate and money,
essentially.
Wow. What a concept. Okay. Sure. Great. I have to find someone who is super unlikable for Ryder. Please continue.
Zora is, of course, appalled at this proposal that she's just heard. And then she's even more appalled when Ryder agrees that this is something he will do. So she spends the night in her room figuring out how she's gonna tell Alice about what she's overheard. But it's not a conversation that she wants to have. One, because who wants to deliver bad news of betrayal twice in the same month? She already had to tell Alice that Jillian was having an affair. And now she's gonna tell Alice that her grandparents are trying to get Ryder to break up her and Jillian's probably ill-fated engagement. But that's kind of neither here nor there. But the other reason that she's not excited about this is because she doesn't necessarily want to stop this sabotage of the engagement. She does not think Jillian and Alice should get married. They need therapy at a minimum. And maybe it's just not a relationship that should continue.
Honestly, all I can think is, can we try the flavor of therapy? It seems like a flavor none of us have tried yet in this story. Alice and Jillian, I will make no commentary about, you know, the potential of being able to work on a relationship after that kind of infidelity has occurred, to each their own. Do we think, so here's the thing. What we traditionally understand to be legal marriage in this country is between two people. And I don't see Jillian being a one-person kind of gal. Which, you know what? Again, if that is something that we decide, if Alice and Jillian are like, yep, this is cool, this is our relationship dynamic, excellent. But here's the thing. Alice doesn't strike me as the type. Zora is just over here. She knows everything. The burden of being the person who knows everything. I'll shut up. I am trying to process all of this drama right now. And is this just being fueled by your need to go to a wedding that falls apart? You know what? I'll say less. You say more. I need to know more.
So after a night spent wrestling with the weight of needing to have this conversation with Alice and wanting also to have it privately with Alice because Alice refused to leave Jillian's side last night, she wakes up, she's going downstairs for breakfast when she runs into Inez in the hallway, who asks her to step into one of the rooms with her and brings up in a conversation essentially the same thing that she says to Ryder last night.
Okay, so on one hand, we have Marcus being like, Ryder, you are our only hope. Please help. And then Inez, who is the hip one in this group, is like, yeah, no, I agree that Jillian is troubled. This should not go forward. And you, Zora, are our only hope. I love this.
Well, no.
No?
I think you're
a
little
confused. Oh, I misunderstood.
Marcus and Inez were both talking to Ryder in the kitchen last night.
Okay.
But never. Inez is a smart lady. She's going to hedge her bets. So,
okay.
So what she approaches Zora and says, we can't allow this engagement to happen. And although Zora agrees that this is probably not a great relationship and it probably needs to end, if not change radically, she's not thrilled at Inez making it her business, mostly because she's making it her business for the wrong reasons. It's not about the well-being of her granddaughter. It's about the optics of her granddaughter marrying a woman paired with some weird obsession with having their friend's grandson marry their granddaughter. Zora doesn't get the exact same proposal, but the proposal Zora's met with is, if you break up their engagement, we will pay off your debts. Like, she's got a lot of student loan debts. She's got some credit card debt. Clearly not the favorite. She wasn't offered half of the estate, but she is offered a significant sum of money, a clean slate, if she breaks up the engagement, if she gets Alice to call it off. Zora has to tell Alice. There's no world in which she agrees. She tells Inez that she'll think about it, but there's a lot going on, yada, yada, yada. So Zora tells Alice, and Alice is understandably furious. Not only has she just recently come to the realization that her partner has been having this affair, gotten engaged for some reason to said partner, but now her grandmother is trying to play matchmaker when seemingly she no longer needs a match, like she's found one. And after a nice spiral, Alice comes up with a new proposition. See, the reason that Alice and Jillian are engaged is because although Jillian, yes, had an affair, and although Alice doesn't necessarily want to be with Jillian, she does feel betrayed, she's feeling very confused, her grandmother had just made it very clear that she didn't think this relationship would last. She didn't think that they were meant for each other. And Alice is stubborn. And Alice knows that part of the reason that her grandmother doesn't want them together is because Jillian is a woman. Despite her public politics, her grandmother has a different set of standards for her own family. It's okay for other people to be gay. It's not okay for her own grandchild to be queer.
It's like, I am an ally unless it's you. And then I am not an ally. Oh my God. I love how we're splitting this hair. Just, Inez, go off, I guess, as in go off and come back when you've learned better. Wow. But I do have to say, though, Alice, it is not a good idea to get married out of spite. That is just an expensive mistake. You're inviting the government into your spite relationship. All right. You know what? Okay. Sure.
Not a great look. We shouldn't get married unless we actually want to, not just to say fuck you to our grandmother, presumably. After explaining that part of the reason that they got engaged was because she couldn't let this relationship fail because that was just giving her grandmother what she wanted. But she needed something out of this relationship that she had been in for the past 5 years. And so they got engaged with the understanding that Jillian would probably be seeing other people, but, you know, they figured they could be engaged and, you know, after grandma kicks the bucket, they get a divorce. Seems ridiculous, but, you know, Alice is panicked. She knows it's a terrible plan, but kind of sunk her heels into it.
I really hope that Alice is planning on some kind of prenuptial agreement going into this, because you do not want to get married out of spite and then have to... get a prenup, Alice. Okay.
But now that she knows that there's money on the line, and she knows that she can help her best friend still say fuck you to grandma and grandpa and get out of this engagement that she doesn't actually want to be in, at least not for the right reasons, she proposes to Zora.
There's no way this could go wrong. This sounds like the best idea in the world. They definitely don't have feelings for each other. Zora definitely doesn't have any feelings for Alice. Alice probably doesn't have any feelings for Zora. This is a completely platonic situation. To get back at some homophobic grandparents and also not marry someone who has been unfaithful to you in the past and broke your trust. I see no way that this could go wrong. Honestly, exactly. Brilliant.
It's the perfect plan. It's the perfect plan.
Yeah. Why have I not already done this in my own life? Who knows? All right. Because my grandparents would actually probably be cool about it. But anyway, moving on.
It's another ridiculous notion that Zora is now faced with. There's been a lot that's happened in the past 24 hours. Her head's spinning. But knowing that this is Alice's proposition, she feels a lot more comfortable taking that money from Inez and Marcus. Because here's the thing. Inez said by any means necessary. And it wasn't, you need to ensure that my granddaughter marries Ryder or a man. It was just, this engagement needs to end. You know, be careful what you wish for, Inez. I guess.
I was about to say, all of this just seems like one big life hack. I don't... I think that Inez needs to pony up because sounds like maybe her ass wrote a check that she doesn't really want to ride out. But you know what? I think that Inez will come around to this. This is a great idea. And Marcus can go and garden or fish. Yeah, probably fish. He can go fish. That's fine.
Now, what's their next steps? Because, okay, Zora is like, yeah, this is checking a bunch of boxes. My mountain of debt is going to get wiped clean. I'm not having to lie to anyone, my best friend, nobody about this. I'm saving her from making a giant mistake. And I'm also not giving in to her grandparents' demands, at least not in the way they want me to. What could go wrong is what Zora is thinking. So Zora, of course, she agrees. She's going to go along with this.
Yeah, this is a perfect idea. Also, it's not going to seem weird at all that all of this has been set up. And like so soon after the engagement is announced, it's called off and a new one is put forth because everyone knows that just like buying clothes, you know, or something, and you decide that the fit's kind of weird, you can just return it and get something else. It's the same with romantic entanglements. I don't see how this could go bad.
Alice sends Jillian packing. Alice and Zora go down to breakfast, sans Jillian. Jillian has left the premises.
Oh no, I'm so sad to see her go. I was really getting into her character. Oh well. Was that believable? Did I sell you on that? Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
Everyone is starting to eat. Coffee's being poured. Croissants are being passed. Fruit bowls, things of that nature. And then Alice, in the middle of the table, stands up and everyone looks at her and she says, I have some upsetting news to share with all of you. Jillian and I have called off the engagement. Inez is beaming. Like, never in a million years would she believe that this could just happen. Ryder looks incredibly confused. Like, happy but confused because he didn't even try to romance Alice yet. Like, how could she... just
I'm just picturing the absolute hubris being like, wow, I must have been so amazing just existing that it changed her entire perspective on both her sexuality and her opinion of me as a romantic partner. Is this the moment I've been dreaming of?
And then she reaches and she grabs Zora's hand. And she says, the truth is...
I'm sorry. I'm just picturing Ryder's face falling in this moment, being like, damn, my unending charisma didn't work.
So she reaches down for Zora's hand, and she says, the truth is, Zora and I have been having an affair. And I'm in love with her. And I realized that I couldn't keep lying to myself. And it wasn't fair to Jillian. And I just couldn't go through with the wedding. I'm sorry if I've let you down. But this is who I truly want to be with. To be clear, she's not saying she's engaged to Zora. They're just coming out as a couple. Just want to make that clear. Because I think there was some confusion earlier.
This makes sense. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Wow. I were Zora, I don't know exactly how I would feel basically being like, yup, I was the other woman.
Everyone is just a buzz. And of course, Inez and Marcus's faces fall because their triumph was very short-lived. And now Inez is shooting daggers at Zora. They disperse for the day. They go out. Alice and Zora decide they're going to go on a kayaking trip. And so off they go onto the lake. They're paddling, getting away from everyone so they can kind of discuss their next steps. And then as they're doing that, up behind them comes Ryder. And Ryder is insistent that he get Alice to come with him. You know, yesterday when he was out on the boat, he found this really cool kayaking. It's a very narrow little stream that shoots off the lake and it's very beautiful. And does she want to go with him? And Alice knows that he was going to try to romance her. She's aware of this, but he's kind of a bozo. They've been friends for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like a best friend confidant kind of a friend. He's like this character that you enjoy spending time with in a group.
I feel like he's 3 seconds away from just challenging Zora to a foot race for Alice's hand. Be like, I bet that if I beat you running to that tree and right back here, I get to date her.
Alice decides that she's going to go talk to him because he doesn't have a chance. And although she thought she made that clear years ago, apparently he needs a reminder.
Did she beat him in a foot race to prove it? Because I feel like that would really get through to him.
It's on her list of alternative communication methods in case things don't go the way she needs them to. So off Alice and Ryder go to this quote unquote cool place he needs to show her. Meanwhile, Marcus and Inez are now out in their little kayaks. And Inez, it's so clear that she's upset, but she's like that kind of like rich, waspy white lady that is pissed, but also is smiling.
I have her so well cast in my head already. Oh my God. Yes. I love that. It's just the quiet simmering rage underneath a veneer of White Rain hairspray and debutante ball teaching. Ugh.
She's trying to have a conversation with Zora because she feels shocked and dismayed that Zora would not disclose to her that she and Alice were involved, and how inappropriate it is for her to disrespect a relationship like that. How disappointed she is in Zora for being a philanderer. It's a conversation that Zora is doing her damnedest. She's a better woman than I, because she's not rolling her eyes.
I need Inez to either have like a completely out of place transatlantic accent, or I need her to have a very like Savannah Southern accent that also seems out of place.
Marcus is hanging out close enough to hear the conversation, but not close enough to be included. Zora and Inez are having this, we're yelling at each other without yelling at each other kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm, because yelling is impolite.
Yeah, and unladylike.
Mm-hmm.
Zora is not really sure how to approach this. Inez makes it clear that she will not be paying the debts of Zora. And Zora, while she's not mad necessarily, she's also like, but you said you would, and you didn't tell me I couldn't. You just said that their relationship had to end, and honestly, I did it in record time.
This is a handshake agreement that, according to the multiple seasons of a lawyer show that I watched, that's legally binding. They have a contract.
Inez is not scared because they can afford some great lawyers, and they know that Zora cannot. But she turns to her and she says, look, I will still pay for your debts if you break off your relationship with Alice. Zora is, of course, like, well, we're not actually, you know, thinking, she's thinking this, not actually in a relationship with Alice, but also as insane as this all is, I have to have my friends back, and also on principle as a queer woman, I am not thrilled about your backwards sense of morality.
Let me pay you to break up my granddaughter's engagement, but not like that, in a straight way.
She says, you know what, Inez? I love your granddaughter too much to abandon her for any reason. And the fact that you believe that any sum of money could make me walk away from our relationship is frankly insulting. And at this, the facade that this woman has put forward, this I'm being polite while also being so angry, breaks. And as Zora goes to keep on chugging along in her kayak, Inez takes her oar.
And with an air of Clinique unhappy in this moment.
Whacks, and then Zora flips over in the canoe and tumbles out.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
At this point, Alice and Ryder are coming back from wherever the heck they had gone off to, just in time to see this. Now, they can't really tell that Inez caused Zora to fall in, but they are also confused as to how it could have happened in the first place, because they're on a lake. They're not like on a river that is super rapidy. They are not in still water, but you know, it's pretty calm. It just seems very odd. There's nothing in the lake large enough, like no critters that could have tipped her over. So it just seems very odd.
Not like those catfish that are the size of Volkswagen Beetles in Lake Hartwell.
So everybody, apart from Inez and Marcus, who continue on with their kayak, you know, rows back to shore, where Zora emerges, clothing clung to her body.
Sensuously.
Alice must admit, not an unattractive way. She is only a human woman.
She has eyes.
Alice is like, what happened? Zora's like, your grandmother pushed me in. She's not happy about this. Alice is like, oh my god, I am so sorry. This is crazy. She's never been physically violent before. Like,
you inspired something in her.
That is wild. Zora's like, honestly, it's not even the worst part. And Zora continues to fill her in on this additional proposition. And at this point, Alice is fuming that her grandmother just thinks she can throw around her money in order to manipulate people and to get them to do exactly what she wants. Another part of her is slightly offended that, like, her grandmother hasn't even tried to talk to her. Not that it would work, but the fact that she is just essentially a pawn to be moved around at the whim of her grandmother is really upsetting. At this point, Ryder has caught up with them. Ryder is confused as to what happened. And Zora has had just about enough of this guy's face. She thought he was annoying when they were growing up. She thinks he's slimy now. She says something rude to Ryder, grabs Alice, whisks her away. Because she wants to know, has Ryder got it through his skull that this is never going to happen? And Alice is like, oh, he just won't give it up. I don't know what else to do besides maybe challenge him to a foot race. And Zora's like, what do we do? Do we leave? Do we stay? I don't want to be around your grandmother anymore. I certainly don't want to be around Ryder. And then Alice is like, you know, why don't we go to the pub that's in the little town? We'll go to some of the shops. We'll just, like, let's not spend today here. They get Zora cleaned up and they head into town for their day out. They are talking about all kinds of things. They are really opening up about some stuff, and it's a really great montage of their day out that we're gonna get in this scene. But it's also very clear that both of these women like each other as more than friends. They have the feels. They just need to admit it. But there's a couple of problems, right? Because Alice has just gotten out of a 5-year relationship that ended in probably the most bizarre way possible. And she's too stubborn to honestly let herself be upset, let herself be sad, let herself feel like she's losing.
Yeah.
And Zora has spent a lot of her adult life convincing herself of the fact that the feelings she has for her best friend are just lingering from when they were kids, that it's nostalgia. It's not actual romantic affection. It's just her best friend. She feels very safe with her. These aren't real feelings. She has spent much of her adult life convincing herself of that fact. But she's also kind of scared of how uncomfortable, and I wouldn't use the word jealous, but certainly it felt prickly to watch her not be with another person, but to announce that she was engaged to someone who was having an affair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that protective urge.
And it's certainly upsetting for everyone around them to be constantly obsessed with the idea that she's going to marry this longtime friend when, like, Ryder has been in Alice's life the same amount of time that Zora has. And so it's really upsetting because they did have romantic feelings for each other at one time. She just feels like because of the circumstance, they were never supported.
Yeah.
And honestly, no one ever knew, but they were never they would have never been supported the way that a relationship between Ryder and Alice would be. And like that hurts on an even deeper level. Things get emotional. Things get scary for the both of them because they both kind of had this realization that maybe there's something here, but it doesn't feel like the right time. There's so much going on that's just truly insane. It's way too scary to even broach the subject. If you're Alice, if you're Zora, where do you go from here?
Well, the easiest solution would be for them to both honestly communicate their feelings with one another to determine that perhaps what seems so scary or what they are denying themselves to be true can be true and is actually less scary once there's an understanding of pros and cons. That being said, they're not going to do that because no one does that. Are we crazy? No. Zora is going to be like, aggressively business as usual. No big deal. Everything is fine. And Alice is going to lean back on the, ha ha ha, wasn't it such a good idea for us to pretend to be together? This totally is always going to work out because we are best friends. History would see that we are best friends. And that was forever ago, and we don't have to think about any of the extenuating circumstances. So everything just goes on business as usual, no concerns at all about anything, and it doesn't get complicated at all.
Uh-huh, sure. They go back to the house, and for the next few days, it is business as usual, with them pretending to be in love with each other while also pretending not to be. They are performing for the other people in the house, but also for themselves.
Which, if they were just honest, there would be no pretending on any front.
Yeah, but that's not how rom-coms work, Madison.
It's true. It would be a really anticlimactic story if you were like, and then they decided that they would just love each other and everyone was fine with it, including the grandparents. The end.
So things are business as usual. And then one night, they're all out by the campfire. Zora and Alice are snuggled up together, playing the lovesick couple. Then Ryder, in an effort apparently to still sabotage this relationship, because no doubt about it, Inez and Marcus are not letting it go. Despite the fact that there's literally no rings on anybody's fingers, Ryder pulls out a guitar.
I'm so hoping for this. I wanted this so bad.
And he proceeds to perform a medley of love songs.
All written by Rob Thomas.
And then just when you think it can't get worse, he says, you know, I feel really comfortable with all of you and I like to write songs in my spare time and I'd like to perform some for you now.
No, that's okay. You don't have to. Please don't feel comfortable. I prefer your discomfort.
He begins singing and he really focuses his attention on Alice.
Aggressive
in like a contact. Really, yeah, aggressive eye contact in a really big way. And Zora is feeling unbelievably uncomfortable, not just because no man should be whipping out a guitar and just serenading people without their consent, and especially not with original content.
Not unless he drops his SoundCloud link so we can listen back later.
But she's also uncomfortable because as she's looking around the bonfire and sees Inez and sees Marcus, completely enchanted.
Oh my God.
By not just Ryder, but by the fantasy that they have created and that he represents. She is stuck in this infinite, even in this reality, where Alice and her, regardless of the fact that that it's a pretending situation, they're the only two that know that. So in this in the reality they have created where they are together, even in this reality, everyone is so goddamn focused on Ryder and the fact that it's so clear this song is about Alice.
Oh my God.
And she can't take it.
No, why would you?
And so she gets up. And she says she's not feeling well. And she leaves. And she locks herself in her room. And a little while later, after Alice was able to extricate herself from the situation.
I think at that point, you just throw yourself on the bonfire. Like, that seems like a reasonable way to kind of get out of the situation.
Alice goes to knock on Zora's door because she's a little confused about why she left. Yeah, Ryder's song is objectively terrible, and he is objectively terrible for holding them hostage for half the night. But this is the kind of thing that in the past they would sneak off and laugh about together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear that Zora's not excusing herself to go hide her laughter in the corner. She's very visibly upset. Alice is knocking on the door, trying to get Zora to talk to her, but Zora, after a while, quietly says, you know, please leave me alone. And now Alice is confused. Regardless of the feels that Alice has definitely clocked, she hasn't acknowledged what they are, but, you know, yeah. She's aware something's happening, but she's not acknowledging them. You know, she's not a fairy. She can contain multitudes. You know, she doesn't have room for just one emotion. But, like, the main emotion that she's experiencing is spite towards her grandmother. And she's been so focused about that. She recognizes she's been a bad friend. Like, she clearly doesn't even know why Zora's upset. So she's done something wrong.
Yeah, I was about to say, even with all the back and forth of, like, ignoring, you know, potential depth of feelings and the repercussions of their ongoing antics to spite the grandparents and pretend that they don't have feelings for one another, at the end of the day, these are two incredibly close friends, and I feel like it's Alice really dropped the ball in this moment by not wanting to understand what's going on. I feel like she could if she just sat with it a moment. Man, I'm really, really feeling for Zora in this moment.
They all go to bed. The next morning, Alice wakes up. She goes downstairs. It's really early in the morning. She's going to make some coffee for Zora and bring them up breakfast so that they can talk. When she knocks on Zora's door, nobody answers, but she tries the handle and it's unlocked. She walks in. Zora's bed is made, and there's a note on the pillow.
Ugh.
Addressed to Alice, saying that this has been too much and some other excuse about needing to get back for work and that they'll talk later. But enjoy the rest of the time with your family. Alice is stuck on the this has been too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the kind of friends that do a lot for each other. They're definitely the, like, if they were in a situation where they have to bury a body, like, that's who they're going to call.
Mm-hmm.
They have been friends since birth. It doesn't make any sense. She's racking her brain and she is like, I don't understand what went wrong. What was too much?
Mm-hmm.
She comes back down with the tray. Inez is like, oh, what's wrong? And she's like, oh, Zora had to go. And Inez is now perking up because, wait, you mean that you didn't know she was leaving until now? Like, she didn't tell you? That seems like trouble in paradise to Inez, and she is thrilled.
She's sitting there with a margarita being like, oh, wow, I'm gonna stay in my paradise. Seems like yours is rocky.
Alice is quiet during breakfast. Ryder is trying to do whatever Ryder's trying to do to gain the attention and affection of Alice, and Alice loses it. And for the first time in forever, she's not trying to spare his feelings. She's got bigger problems to worry about.
Stop sparing men's feelings, 2023.
She's also not trying to spare the feelings of anyone else. And so in a beautiful monologue in which she completely makes it so clear to Ryder that she is not interested, could not be less interested, and then turns her attention to her grandparents where she says she is so angry at them for their behavior. It is disgusting. It is sickening. And you want to know what? If they don't approve, if they're not happy that she doesn't want to live in the fantasy that they created, then they can keep their money. They can give it all to Ryder for all she cares. Clearly, they care far more about him than they care about her. And she walks out the door. She's got to go find Zora.
You go, girl. I've been holding out for you and you didn't disappoint.
She takes a very expensive cab ride, like $300.
Jesus, can't she just maybe go slower and put that money towards Zora's student loans? That would go a lot longer towards the forgiveness angle, but I understand. I understand.
She spends a ridiculous amount of money on a cab ride to get back to the city, and she gets to Zora's apartment. She's knocking on the door, and no one is answering, and so she grabs her key, lets herself into the apartment, but nobody is there. Zora is apparently not home. So now she's like, where the hell is Zora? And right as she's about to leave, Zora comes in the door, completely startled by the fact that she's just in the room. Like, she opens, like, it's one of those things where it's like, you open the door and, like, someone's standing on the other side.
Yes.
She's like, what are you doing here? And you just scared the crap out of me. Worse than that pigeon did. That one time that we tried to sneak out onto the fire escape.
Fucking birds, man. They're terrifying.
Alice is like, I'm so sorry. I never should have asked you to try and manipulate my grandparents like I did. It was completely inappropriate. And I'm also sorry that I'm so stubborn that I would get engaged and A, not tell you before I told my family, but B, let it be so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It was so clear that you wanted to talk to me, and I love you and I value our friendship, and you have been the number one person in my life for so long, and I you were so upset yesterday and I felt completely useless. I don't want to be useless in this relationship. I want to be somebody that you can ask to do ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Even though you would never do ridiculous things because you're very sensible. And I love that about you. We balance each other out.
Aww.
Zora's like, I'll admit I was upset, and I'll admit that you have been ridiculous. You should not have gotten engaged 3 weeks after finding out that your girlfriend of 5 years was having an affair. That was an asinine thing to do. And I understand that you didn't want to give your grandmother the satisfaction, but newsflash, you're not into Ryder, so you're never going to give her what she actually wants. Because yeah. if we're being serious, even if you were going to get married to a man, I don't think she would want it to be anyone but Ryder. She loves that boy probably more than she loves you, which is messed up, but like, that's her shtick.
I like to think that the song that he wrote was called Along for the Ride. Sorry. Anyway.
I'm in the middle of an impassioned monologue. And then you interrupt me, much like Ryder probably would. So I suppose it's kind of on theme. Oh, Lord. Okay. She's like, your grandma's never going to love you as much as she loves Ryder. And that is weird, but that's her thing. And like, honestly, I think you and I should just accept that. But more than anything, I love you. And maybe I love you more than I realized. And I think that's hard when no one else realizes it too.
Aww.
And Alice is quiet for a moment, but then she goes, you know, I love you too. And if it helps, I realized this morning that you loved me too.
And that's why she paid for a $300 cab ride. She'll never financially recover from this cab ride.
It's a little awkward. And they're not sure what to do, but eventually they figure out that the only thing to do was just smooch. Yep. They've done it before. They can do it again.
Yeah, they ought to do it again, just for good measure, honestly.
And then they pull back in one of those moments where the audience knows that they love each other in that way, but also there's the funny of, oh yeah, no, it definitely, like, we definitely, like, the kiss was confirmation. Like, yeah, oh, good kiss. Zora's like, do you want to go get breakfast?
Oh, hell yes.
Alice is like, it's a little late for breakfast. And Zora says, I know a place. And then they walk out the door and off into whatever the future holds.
Hopefully pancakes.
I'm partial to French toast, but I don't know what either of them like. You don't like French toast?
No.
Madison!
I know. If I wanted cinnamon bread, I would have cinnamon toast. And if I wanted eggy bread, I wouldn't want eggy bread. And I don't want my cinnamon bread Madison. To be eggy. I know.
Madison, a brioche French toast is like a gift.
I just don't want it.
Oh my God. That's my like number one. I love French toast. Are you serious? What is wrong with you?
I'm really sorry. What are your thoughts on waffles?
They're better than pancakes.
That's true. And do you want to know something about me and waffles? I don't want syrup with my waffles. I want honey.
Sounds pretty good. I've never had that.
And if you get the cinnamon waffles that are like French toast, but they're waffles from the freezer section, and then you put honey on them, that shit slaps.
Oh my God, you would not eat this because you unfortunately don't understand the beauty and deliciousness of French toast, but now I am intrigued by the concept of waffle French toast. So taking waffles and turning them into French toast.
Why don't you just take French toast and make it into a waffle?
What, like put it in a...
In a waffle iron.
Waffle iron?
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the same thing.
No, I get that. I don't know, though, because I think the problem is that the egg would, like, get in all the little crevices. And then it would just emphasize what I dislike about French
toast. Do you
not
like eggs?
No, eggs are fine.
I don't understand.
It's the cinnamon with the eggs. Like, if it I don't
Do you
want...
not do you not put vanilla in it?
Well, yeah. Well, no, okay, here's the thing.
You're essentially making a custard that you don't cook, and then you put it on bread, and then you cook that. I think you're making French toast wrong.
I think that maybe, well, one, I've never really made French toast for myself, because I've had it before and I'm just like, I don't like French toast. And actually, one of my infamous exes was like, oh, I know how to make really good French toast. I'll make French toast that you'll like. You just haven't had my French toast. Well, guess what? I had his French toast, and I think that sealed the deal. I'm like, if this infamous French toast can't, you know, light my fire, then no French toast will. I'll let you make me French toast.
I mean, I'm not going to say that my French toast is infamous. I just feel like you're making French toast wrong.
I mean, probably.
Have you had it? Have you had, a brioche? Have you ever ordered it at a restaurant? Have you ever had a brioche French toast from, a restaurant? A diner? That's, one of my number one. If I'm going to get something sweet at a diner, it's French toast.
So, the last time that I recall having French toast in a restaurant, it was at a restaurant that is now no longer open, where on the square where we went to college, and it was overpriced and just wasn't super good. I don't know. You know what? I will say, though, I don't know if it was French toast, because it had this cream cheese kind of sweet filling, and it was doused in this.
That sounds like a Bavarian French toast.
Well, it was also doused in this blueberry compote syrup sort of gig. But at Lily's wedding, what we had for breakfast was, I guess, what could have been a really fancy French toast that I did quite enjoy. So maybe it's possible. I'll tell her if that's what it was.
The next time you and I are together, we'll either go get breakfast and I will order French toast and you can order what you want, but you can try mine after I try it to confirm that it is good and an accurate representation of French toast instead of whatever the hell you've been eating. And if we're at home, I will make French toast, but I will also make something else so that you won't starve if you don't like it. But I can't fathom that you don't like French toast. I think that's wrong. So I'm going to choose to believe, until I see evidence otherwise, that you just not have good French toast. Or perhaps you've never had French toast.
Maybe not. And you know I am an absolute slut for cinnamon. So there's no reason why I shouldn't enjoy French toast.
Have you ever had French toast sticks? Which is a different category. But have you ever...
Yeah,
you can get them in the freezer aisle. They're different. It's different than French toast, but I still enjoy them. But it's not like
I know that we ate them a couple times growing up. I don't recall having any major dislike for those. And I will say, though, that if I'm going to go to the freezer, which now I'm gonna have to go to the fucking store tomorrow to get these, because now I'm thinking about them and it's all I want. The French toast, waffle bites, where it's a waffle that you put in the toaster, but it looks like little pieces, little shapes of bread. They're advertised as toaster French toast. Those, I fuck with those any day of the week.
We have just talked about French toast for a solid, 5 minutes.
We're very impassioned about this.
I think you and I, our true love is French. Well, my true love might be French toast. I don't know what your true, maybe breakfast. Breakfast foods.
I love breakfast foods. My favorite breakfast are cinnamon toast. I would eat
breakfast
waffles
all the time. Breakfast is, you know what? That's why people love brunch. Because who's ordering lunch items at brunch? Everybody's ordering breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Lunch. No.
Who, literally, tell me. And also, especially because, half the things you can get on a brunch menu that are still breakfast item. Like, chicken and waffles is essentially just a chicken sandwich, but with waffles as the bread. You know what I mean?
It's I was about to say, you just slap it on a fucking biscuit. That's breakfast.
Should we start a breakfast podcast?
Do you want to start a breakfast podcast?
I feel like I didn't know it until this moment, but apparently we love it so much that we could probably talk about it, you know, at length.
We're back in the game. We're not just talking about breakfast. We are talking about whether or not Chelsea made us a rom-com. One, I feel like you did really well incorporating the concept of the bet without making it icky. So, absolutely excellent job there, just right out the gate. It has no bearing on whether or not it's a rom-com, but for a topic that you did not enjoy, you did it great justice.
Thank you.
Now, do Alice... Actually, here, let me clarify something really quick. Is the pairing that we're analyzing, is it Alice and Zora, or is it Ryder and his guitar? I just had to make sure.
It's Alice and Zora, but
okay,
yeah,
okay.
I don't really want a rom-com about Ryder and his guitar.
No, sorry, I just pictured something horrible. So do they date? So this situation's kind of weird because while there is deepening affection between them, with the conversation of is it like previous stuff resurfacing? Like, is it actually deepening? Are we revisiting just another time? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a complicated question, but I think mostly what you're seeing is two people realize that there's something there and then admit it, which is is hard. That's why they say the first step is admitting it. We're sort of pitching something that's not yet a visual medium, but I think in where they're going out into town to get away from the lake shenanigans, I think there's room for deepening of that bond, especially in a subtextual way.
Yeah. I'm picturing a lot of wistful glances.
Yeah. I also think that there will be some of that in the montage of the week that they're spending together where they're pretending. And like, it's clear mostly through Zora that it's very difficult to pretend. But we also get a few glimpses of Alice thinking briefly like, huh, you know, maybe there's something there. But it's like really scary too, I think, for you to admit that you have, especially in this situation, right? Like, becoming romantically involved with a friend can be really, really great, but I think there's also a worry most of the time that if it goes bad, best case scenario, it's awkward for a little while and you get over it, but worst case scenario, like, it blows up in your face. And we're talking, these are lifelong friends who in their youth kind of allowed themselves to explore this, but have been pretty practical since then, like teenage love, we're moving on, and they have, and they've been with other people, and it's not like Zora has been hung up on this relationship. It's that she does love her friend, and there is this sense of longing for the fact that they were the ones that had the relationship, not Ryder and Alice, to be acknowledged.
I think you definitely check that box for do they date in terms of it being really clear that the relationship is evolving. So good job.
Why, thank
you. You got 1 point. But is comedy central to this plot?
The fact that Ryder won't take a hint. The fact that Inez loses composure and straight up pushes Zora into a lake. The fact that Ryder brought his guitar and chose to serenade everyone
Did you know that he has a Matchbox 20 tattoo on his right calf?
I'm sure he does. I think all of that's pretty funny. I also just think Alice being so stubborn and having very chaotic and ridiculous ideas about how to fix this. And also, like, as much as Inez and Marcus have their interests in the wrong place, the fact that Inez is not only trying to get Ryder and her granddaughter together, but also would seek out her best friend to also end this engagement is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. She might love Ryder, but does she think he can get the job done?
No, she knows he's incapable.
She loves him, but he's a bit of a...
He's a bit, you know, yeah.
I think all of that is funny. And I think, like a lot of rom-coms, this would be... A lot of that's going on is, like, far-fetched. But it's far-fetched in the comedy way, not in the romance way. And I think that is something... And I know that maybe I'm biased here because this is something I created, but I just mean that in a lot of the rom-coms that we usually watch, it's far-fetched in a romance way, which I have a harder time with. But to not name names, but to say that there was something we did cover in season one where it was all a little fantastic and ridiculous, and I was... Yeah, it was a ridiculous movie, but I was much easier able to buy into that film than a lot of ones where I'm just supposed to believe that these two characters are in love with each other. Like, and that's more where I have the problem with rom-coms. Comedy can be ridiculous. That's why it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that it's easier to sell unusual actions or dialogue because people are so naturally unpredictable. It's the whole thing of reality is stranger than fiction. But one thing that you can't trust is automatically built in your audience is a clear connection between people. So I like that you leaned a lot more into how silly actions and potential dialogue and scenes could be rather than how wild it is that these two people could come together. But is romantic love in the driver's seat? I think it evolves.
Yeah, maybe? I think that's, yeah, it's interesting because it's, I don't think that's the motivating factor in the action until later.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Zora, to a certain extent, probably wouldn't be in this situation if she didn't love Alice. And I know that that's a little bit complex because regardless of romance, they have a strong relationship. But I think this almost kind of plays into the, like, the in some ways, the fake relationship trope. Because they have to invent this fake relationship for their real relationship to emerge.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that you could argue that even if it's mostly subconscious, Zora agreed to this because it wasn't something that she would really truly have to fake. And I think by the same token, Alice was able to ask this of her because Alice also knew that they could sell it because Alice could see it being possible. So yeah, I think that in a roundabout way, even if it wasn't directly noted until later that what's transpired is acts of romantic love, it's the possibility of that that makes all of this so easy to sell. And so easy to agree to. So I would say yes. I would say that romantic love ultimately drives the plot, even if perhaps at the beginning it was presented as platonic love on Zora's part and spite on Alice's part. And Ryder's there.
All right. So we have a rom-com, but Madison, we have left our cast somewhere and we really need to pick them up.
Oh my god, you're right. Shit. Oh, you know what it was? We missed the exit back there. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So let's make a U-turn.
Screeching tires sound. I have really gone back and forth on some of these people. There is exactly two people that are non-negotiable for me. And that is Inez and Marcus.
Okay.
Inez will be played by Kelly Bishop.
Yes.
No one else is allowed to play Inez. No one could. No one will. I want Marcus, accent and all, to be played by Ian McElhaney.
Oh my god.
Because I feel like he would really be able to be likable while also doing unlikable things, if that makes sense. Like, I don't necessarily want to have him be some kind of stodgy old fuck kind of vibe, you know? And so I feel like they could be paired together, and I also want his accent to be billed separately.
Great. I accept.
I have two options for writer. My first option before we broke out a guitar was Dylan O'Brien.
I mean, we've seen Dylan O'Brien with a guitar before.
Yeah, but my next option is Miles Teller, because he fits that really waspy vibe. He could play someone really unlikable, and he strikes me as the type that Kelly Bishop would want as a son-in-law.
Grandson-in-law, but yeah.
So.
Okay. I think I will reserve final judgment for our casting of Alice, but yes, I'm inclined to agree with you that Miles Teller is probably our writer.
So for Jillian, I want her to be played by Ana de Armas.
Okay.
Because she's hot and I feel like she could do it.
Look, do I think that Ana de Armas is going to turn down the role of Jillian? Yes, but we can certainly offer it to her.
Perfect. Zora, I'm going to pitch as Haley Steinfeld. And then I'm going to let you throw out your Alice, because I went back and forth. I thought maybe Emma Stone, and I thought maybe Amanda Seyfried, or Seyfried, however you say her name. But I just, none of it really landed for me. So I'm curious to see who you envision.
I don't know that Emma Stone or
Amanda
Seyfried. Yeah, I don't know that either of them fit the bill.
I wouldn't mind potentially casting Selena Gomez as someone.
What if Haley Steinfeld is Alice?
Ooh, okay.
And what if we put Ruby Barker in the role of Zora?
Okay. Okay. Slay.
Or Kiana Madeira?
I don't know. I kind of really like Ruby Barker.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. And then the most important, who will Stanley Tucci be playing?
So the Tucci is going to be playing the cab driver on the 3-hour long cab drive. He's going to, you're going to get some hilarious scenes where you just see Alice so anxiously writing in the back of this cab. And Stanley Tucci is going to either be like chatting her ear off about something, or better yet, Stanley Tucci is going to put on a podcast that he's going to like verbally argue with as if it is a conversation for the entire time. Or Stanley Tucci is going to put on like a really good gossip podcast and is just going to be like, oh my God, can you believe that? This is crazy. Can you believe this elderly man in a nursing home was a sex worker?
Great.
So I he needs the little hat too. Like, he needs the cabbie hat.
Great.
That's non-negotiable. All right.
I love it. So our roll call. Our Alice is Haley Steinfeld. Our Jillian is Ana de Armas, who I don't,
she's so gonna accept
I
the
don't
role.
Think she's gonna accept the role, but sure. Zora will be Ruby Barker. Inez is, of course, the incomparable Kelly Bishop. Marcus will be Ian McElhenney, and his accent will be billed separately.
As it should be.
Ryder will be Miles Teller. And of course, the Tooch as the cab driver arguing with a podcast.
So good.
All right, Madison, we have our cast. It's definitely a rom-com, but how badly do you want to see this movie?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 is, sorry, I've got plans to rewatch a show I've already seen a million times. 2 is that I'll pirate it. 3 is that I'd pony up the money to see it on streaming. 4 is that I'd catch it in theaters when I can. And 5 is that I'm door busting the second it drops in theaters. I think this is a solid 3. I'd hit this up when I'm endlessly scrolling looking for something to watch because I've finished almost 9 seasons of a lawyer show. Yeah, I just feel like across the board, this is just a really solid 3.
I think I'm with you. I think it would be fun. It'd be entertaining, but it's not something I'm running to see or going to spend money to see in the theater.
Yeah, it's a good palate cleanser movie, too. The soundtrack is going to be amazing.
Uh-huh.
It's just going to be Miles Teller singing songs by Matchbox 20.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And Rob Thomas's solo work. Although, if he attempts to perform smooth, I'm out. This drops to a 1.
Okay.
I can't condone it. But Chelsea, do you know what I can condone?
What?
I can condone people who are listening to reach out to us and share their thoughts either via email at loveatfirstscreening@gmail.com, or they can slide into our DMs on Instagram at loveatfirstscreening.
I can condone that too.
You heard it here, folks. Chelsea condones this. And I think that I should just take that little sound clip of I condone it too and just say the wildest things and just be and just add it in. And that's called a deep fake.
Oh my God. I think our poll this week has to be about breakfast foods. We went on like, I honestly think we talked for like 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes about breakfast foods. And maybe I didn't force the listeners to listen to all of that, but we still did it. So
yeah,
I think this week we're going to ask everyone to rank French toast, waffles, and pancakes.
And whoever puts pancakes first will be the first sacrifice of season 4, where we sacrifice one of our listeners to the audio gods to make sure that we have good audio luck and editing. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. But Chelsea, what am I doing next time?
Great cue. I want you to prepare over 50 romance.
Ooh, okay. Over 50 romance. Let's do it.
Looking forward to some gray romance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. How many shades?
Oh, I'm so sorry. No.
It just, I wanted to make the joke and then I realized in my heart that I didn't. But I was already starting to make it. So I'm so sorry. In this moment, I will be paying Chelsea restitution. I'll be Venmoing her at least 15 cents.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us on this winding journey. Thank you for taking a pit stop to eat. We got hungry and breakfast just sounded delicious.
God, it was so good.
And until next time, French toast!
Waffles.
French toast! It's 29, but it's French toast.
29.
French toast.
29.